Thank you to Ronan and Sylvia for hosting. Where's Ronan? Right here. Thank you. This was his idea, and thanks for putting it together. A beautiful spread, and thanks to Davidel for the music again. You know, when they announced on Shabbos it's Tu B'Av Wednesday night, Rav Weinberger looked at me, he says, it's not Tuesday night, or Wednesday night, whatever tonight is. I said, no, it's Friday night, but people are away, Shabbos Nachamu, we made it a little bit earlier. So he's concerned people might get confused when Rosh Hashanah is. I said, no, we'll be fine. So it's not Tu B'Av, but it's a couple days away. And I'll just share a few words, an idea, some thoughts about Tu B'Av. The Gemara tells us, as many of you know, the end of Maseches Tainis describes Tu B'Av as one of the happiest days of the year. And the Gemara gives 8, 9, 10 different answers to what makes Tu B'Av so special. And each one of these answers requires a hesber of some sort. Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, makes total sense why it's a day of simcha, a day of slicha mechila. But Tu B'Av, there's no strong reason that justifies being a day of simcha. So I want to just focus in on one of the answers the Gemara says. The Rav Masna teaches us that this was the day that Yom Shenitna Haruge Beita L'Kvura. This was the day that there were thousands of Yidden that were murdered in Beitar, and they remained unburied for 7 years. And finally, Tu B'Av came. They were murdered it was Tisha B'Av when they were murdered. And then 7 years later, on Tu B'Av, finally they were granted permission to be buried. So that itself is a very strange thing. Obviously, Kfur is a very, very important mitzvah. But to turn Tu B'Av into a day of simcha because people were buried, even after a very, very long wait, doesn't seem justifiable. And then the Gemara adds on further that Rav Masa also taught us that that very day, also Yom, when they were given permission to be buried, that's when the Chachamim were misakin in Yavna, the bracha of Tova Meitiv, the bracha that we say in benching, Tova Meitiv, the fourth bracha, was instituted that day. Tov Shlo Hisrichu, it was a good day because the bodies did not decompose, even though it was unburied for 7 years. And Hametiv, Shenitnu L'Kvura, that finally they were allowed to be buried. So again, a wonderful thing, a wonderful idea that they were given the ability to be buried, but to institute a bracha of benching, a fourth bracha of benching, every single benching from that point on for the rest of history, because of Haruge Beitar, doesn't seem to make sense. So what was the great simcha of the Kfur of Beitar? And why was this instituted in Tovu Meitiv? Now, a third question, Tosis points out, and also this is why we say a special bracha Tovu Meitiv when two people are drinking wine and they bring a better bottle of wine to the table. The halacha is you have to say Tovu Meitiv when the two of them drink together. So these are three questions. Haruge Beitar, how does that connect to Tu B'Av? Tovu Meitiv as the fourth bracha of benching, and Tovu Meitiv when we drink a new cup of wine. So I think we have to understand the nature of Kvura. We just finished Tisha B'Av, and Chazal teaches that Tisha B'Av, the 9 days, 3 weeks, everything was leading up to days of Avelis, and as it came closer to Tisha B'Av, the Avelis got more intense, until finally it was Kimesa Shemuta Lefanov, Chazal teaches as if the dead body was right in front of the person, and as the Avelis got stronger and stronger. It was a day of Misa. Tisha B'Av is a day of Misa, a day of death, a day of tragedy, a day of darkness. And there was a kfur, there was a burial. There was a burial of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, a burial of all the terrible sins, the terrible tragedies and calamities of the generations. So the Rishonim tried to understand what does kfur mean. The mitzvah of kfur. A mace is a person who dies. So why do we have to bury the mace? Why not cremate the mace? Why not do something else to the mace? Why dafka bury the mace? So among the many, many reasons that are brought down, the Kolbo writes a fascinating explanation. The Kolbo says, the reason why we do a kvura is because kvura is not a disposal of the body. It's not a way of just getting rid of a mace. Kvura is actually a way of preparing for Tchias HaMeis. Kfura is somehow taking the mace and planting it in the ground. planting the body in the ground, because there's going to be a day where that body is going to sprout from the ground. Gemara is the end of Ksubas describe how the body is going to come out, like a chita, like a wheat grows from the ground. It's going to be covered up, like a chita gets covered up. And so we're in essence planting the mace. It's not closing of a chapter. It's rather preparing for the next stage. And the Kolbo says that those who are osek in the mitzvah of kvura are in essence expressing their incredible amuna, belief and trust and faith of tchias amesim. Those who do not involve themselves, those who don't do the mitzvah of kvura, are in essence rejecting the concept of tchias amesim. So kvura is about preparing for the next stage in life, tchias amesim, which we're all waiting for. Now, we can understand if that's the case of so Beitar, Kfuras Beitar, Haruge Beitar that were buried, that the great Simcha was that we took thousands of Jews that were not going to participate in Tchias HaMesim because they weren't buried. Burial is a necessary, it's a prerequisite for Tchias HaMesim. And in essence, Tu B'Av becomes a celebration of Tchias HaMesim. It becomes a celebration that we believe in Tchias HaMesim, we trust that's going to come, and that was a celebration of Tu B'Av. The Tzlach writes, he writes in Brachos, that one may have thought that you don't need to bury the mace by Beitar. Because the Gemara tells us Haruge Beitar didn't decompose. The body stayed fresh. There's no need to bury it. So that's why we say, Tova Meitiv, no, we gave them Kfur, because it's not just about preserving the body, but it's about Meitiv for the future. It's preparing, it's a planting, it's a preparation for the ultimate Tchias HaMesim. And that's the celebration of Tu B'Av, which comes after Tishba. Tishba is the day of Kvura, the day of Misa, and Tu B'Av is celebrating after the death is over, after the Avelis, after we've lost a relative, a friend. There's a time in the future where we're going to reunite. So now we can understand perhaps why Tova Meitiv was placed in benching. The first bracha of benching is about the basics of thanking Hashem for sustenance, for food. The second bracha is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking for Eretz Yisroel. The third bracha, Uvnei Yishalayim, is about Yishalayim, the base of Mikdash. And now the fourth bracha is about Tchias HaMesim. It's Eretz Yisroel, Yishalayim, and Tchias HaMesim. And now the flow works perfectly. Tu B'Av and Tov Meitiv is all about celebrating Tchias HaMesim. It fits perfectly into the themes of benching now. So as for the Tov Meitiv that one says over a glass of wine from new wine brought to the table, so we have to go back in history to the very first Avera, the first Chet of Adam HaRishon, where Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz HaDaas. And the Eitz HaDaas brought Misa into the world. The first death in the world was Adam and Chava. There was not death in the world until they ate from the Eitz HaDaas. So the first Misa, if you will, they brought mortality into the world by eating from the Eitz HaDaas. And that Eitz HaDaas, according to one opinion, was wine. They were drinking wine, they were eating grapes. So that first Avera of Adam and Chava was with wine. So maybe we could suggest that the Medrash tells us, had Adam and Chava waited a little bit longer, had they waited till Shabbos, the Medrash says, until the sunset, they would have been allowed to eat from Eitz HaDaas. They jumped the gun. The Eitz HaDaas was permitted in the right time. So maybe the idea is when two people are sitting and they're drinking the right way, they're drinking with brachas, maybe those two people, it has to be two people, not one, but two people. Maybe those two people represent Adam and Chava, and when they drink the wine, they're somehow being masake in the avera of the wine that Adam and Chava once drank. And there's somehow a tikkun of that Eitz HaDaas. So you recite Tova Meitiv because Adam and Chava brought Misa into the world, but by us drinking wine in the right ways, in the right places, in the right times, we are bringing a Tchias HaMesim into the world. The Gemara in the Sanhedrin tells us there are many sources of Tchias HaMesim. There's no Mefurish Pasuk that tells us Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, but there are a number of Ramazim. And the main remez, the main hint to Tchias HaMesim is found in the words Az Yashir. Az Yashir Moshe asks Gemara, why does it say Yashir? So they sang. It should be in the Hoveh. They were singing. Or they sang. What does az yashir mean? They're going to sin. So the Gemara says that there's going to be a time where all those in Mitzrayim who died eventually will come back to life and they're going to sing a song. Az yashir. So it's interesting that the source of Tchias HaMesim is found in the context of a shir. They're going to wake up one day and they start singing a song. And we know that Ein Shir El HaYayin, that one could only sing a song over wine. So what's going to happen in the future, in the Tchias HaMesim, you're going to have these dead bodies wake up. They're going to sprout from the ground like chita. They're going to be drinking wine and singing a song, Az Yashir. And that's somehow going to be a tikkun of that initial chait of drinking from the wine of Adam and Chava. Now, Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu erased the world with the Mabul. He erased the world of Adam and Chava and all those generations. And then Noach comes into the world. And Noach and his family exit the Teva. And the very first thing that they do is Noach plants a vineyard. He plants a kerem. He plants grapes and he makes wine. And the Sfarim teaches us that that was supposed to be somehow a tikkun of Eitz Hadas. Adam and Chava ate from a grapevine and they made a mistake. And Noach was hoping to fix that and do the right thing with the Eitz Hadas, with the wine. But in the end, Noach made a mistake as well. And we know what happened with the mice of Noach and his son Ham. So there was another misa in the world. Another death came into the world. Another aveir with the yayin. But even though there was incredible shame from Noach, his two other sons protected him. Shem and Yefes. They covered him up. And the Medrash tells us they were zochah to two mitzvahs. Shem and Yefes were zochah to two mitzvahs. You know what the mitzvahs they were zochah to? It says in Chazal that Yefes was zochah to the mitzvah of Kavura. And Shem was zochah to the mitzvah of Talas. Dafka, after eating the wine, drinking the wine, where Noach made that same mistake as Adam and Chava, and a misa was brought into the world, the tikkun is the Kavura. Because after the death, after the misa, after tragedy, there's always an opportunity for renewal, for a resurrection, for a tikkun, for Tchias HaMesim. So Shem and Yefesh were given Kavura and Talas, a Talas which a mesa is buried in, as a remez that even after the tragedy, even after the Averis, there's still a Tchias HaMesim. There's still a chance for tshuva. So the celebration of Tu B'Av is that even though Tish B'Av is behind us, and it was a day that was sad, and yet another disappointing year of a Churban, another disappointing year of no Beis HaMikdash, and we're still in Gullus, and we're still going through all the tragedies and illnesses and deaths and Averos. But Tu B'Av is a reminder that there's still hope. There's still hope that even after all this death is somehow a preparation for a hopeful future, a future of second chances. And this is perhaps true on a larger scale and a global scale, but it's true in each one of our lives, because we all go through yiridos. We all go through times where there's darkness, death, sickness, and oftentimes we make mistakes, and we feel guilty. And that's the feeling of Tisha B'Av, sitting on the floor, no shoes, fasting, disappointed at ourselves. But just a few days later, we're reminded that there's a Tu B'Av. There's a Tchias HaMesim. And that Tchias HaMesim does not have to take place in the Tchias HaMesim. That will also happen. But as we go through life, there's also a Tchias HaMesim. You could come to life even when you're alive. When you're alive. Even when you're living. There are second chances all the time. So Tu B'Av is really setting the stage for a Tchias HaMesim. Because Tu B'Av is leading into Elul. And when the Gemara tells us that how do you know that Adam HaRishon ate, according to one opinion, it was wine, is because the only way Adam HaRishon could have had such confusion is because wine puts a person to a state of Yelule, it says. The Gemara says Yelule, which means confusion. Somehow the wine makes a person drunk, as we know. It's called Yelule. And that, the Sfarim tells us, the Lashon of Elul. Elul is somehow supposed to be a tikkun of the Yelule of Adam HaRishon, that confusion of Adam HaRishon. And the lesson of Tu B'Av is really that Haruge Beitar, although a person could be unburied for years, years and years after feeling dead and feeling lonely and feeling miserable, but even after all that time, the Tu B'Av tells us there's an opportunity for Tchiyas HaMeisim, there's an opportunity for celebration. So I'll just finish off with a quick story of Weimer once shared. He once shared, I think 2 or 3 years ago in Shal Shudas, he was talking about a Maisa that Rav Meir Shapiro once shared. He came across this Maisa. It was they found it in the ledger in the Beis Kvaros, in the cemetery. They keep, you know, documents of who's buried where. And as he was going through this ledger, he came across a Maisa that was inscribed in the ledger. So he once shared this Maisa with his yeshiva. And the Maisa goes that the Marshal had a Talmud. The Talmud was married at a young age, and after getting married, shortly thereafter, his Kala got sick. She was fighting this illness, and eventually she died. And the young Chassan was heartbroken. And he went to his Rebbe, the Marshal, for some Eitzah, for some Chizuk. And the Marshal said, this is, of course, a very tragedy, but Baruch Hashem, you're still young. And there's always a chance, a second chance. Find another Kala, get remarried. And he kept on saying he couldn't. He loved her so much. How could he do this to her? And finally, after the conversation went back and forth, he admitted to the Yom Shalom that he wouldn't be allowed. The Marshal, he admitted to him he couldn't marry someone else because while his wife was sick and struggling with the illness, his wife made him make a shvuah, that he had to make a shvuah that he would never remarry. And the chassan said, how could I say no? She was dying. I had to accept the shvuah. I swore to her I would never get remarried. And I'm bound by that shvuah. And so for that reason, I can't get remarried. And the Marshal says to him that that's very, very nice you made the shvuah, but the shvuah doesn't work. It gives a number of reasons in Halacha why the Shua wasn't Chal. One reason he says because you have a mitzvah of Puravu, mitzvah of getting married, mitzvah of having children, and she can't prevent you from involving yourself in this mitzvah. And therefore, don't worry about it, the Shua doesn't exist, and go get married. So, he listens to his Rebbe, he's a little bit nervous and skeptical, but his Rebbe said get married, he gets married. And the whole town knew about this Maisa. So he found a girl, got married again. And then right after the chasana, the chasan dies. And everybody understood that the Maharshal made a big mistake here. He's messing with Shemai. You make a shvua, the Gemara say, the world trembles when a person violates a shvua. So how could the Maharshal go against this? And we see he was wrong. The chasan died. So the Chevra Kadisha tells the Maharshal that your Talmud passed away, he was nifter. So Marshal gives the following instructions to the Chevra Kadisha. He tells the Chevra Kadisha, do a tahara, clean the body, put him in tachrichin, place him in the kever, but don't cover. Don't bury him, just leave him there. And when you do that, come let me know. So he did all the hachanas, they prepared the mace, the Talmud was laid to rest in the open grave. And they reported to the Marshal, we did what you wanted, what's next? So the Marshal takes out a piece of paper and pen, and he writes the paper something along the lines, Shalom Uvracha, Bezdin Shamala, I, the Marshal Paskin, down here, that the Shua is not Chal, Loba Shemaimi, it's not in the hand of Shemaim to decide, it's in the hand of the Rabbanim like myself to decide, the Shua is not Chal, and bring him back to life. He folds a piece of paper, hands it to the shliach, and says, go down to that grave, place it in the hands of the deceased, and everybody should leave the cemetery, and just have one shomer outside the gates of the cemetery. So they did as they were told, places the folded paper in the hand of the mace, and they all leave. An hour or two into the night, the shomer outside the cemetery hears some rustling, and lo and behold, out walks the Talmud, in his tachrichim. The guy runs for his life. He's seeing a dead man walking. So the man goes home to his wife. His wife is freaking out. And Chassan comes back to life. He runs to the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash empties out, scared of the zombie walking through. And they send a quick shliach to the Marshal. Rebbe, your Talmud came back to life. So he said, tell him to come to me. So he came to him. The Marshal, at that point, he was gozer. The story goes, he was gozer to the Malach of Shichra, the Malach that's in charge of Shichra, that everybody should forget this story, except for the person who's in charge of the cemetery. He should be the only one to remember the story. So he could write down this Maisa in this ledger. And one day, people will read about this and find about such a nace. That really is a Kadosh Baruch in the world, a Tzaddikim in the world, that believe in the Amun of Tchias HaMeisim. And this is how the Maisa goes. That was the Maisa he shared. It's hard for us to believe such a Maisa. Whether you believe that Maisa or not, we all believe, anyone who's here believes, of Tchias HaMeisim. That's certainly true. And therefore, Tu B'Av should, it's not Tu B'Av tonight, but Friday night will be Tu B'Av. So Tu B'Av is a time to look into ourselves, to look beyond our mistakes, beyond our flaws, beyond all the death, the spiritual deaths, the mistakes we've made. And view Tu B'Av as a day of Simcha, just like Yom Kippur is a day of Simcha. The day of Simcha, of renewal, of bringing our own death back to life, Tchias HaMeisim. Mishbizocha. B'zuchus of all the tshuva, b'zuchus all the mitzvahs, all the limud Torah, all the tefillahs, all the chesed we do. B'zuchus that we should be zoch to see that day soon. The B'yetz Gal Tzedek, the Tchias HaMeisim, the returning of Ba'i Shlishi, from here v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.
Amen.